name of Jesus. Amen. Dear saints, your Jesus was tempted by Satan. And this means something for you. First of all, confess who you are. You, dear church, you are in Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ, and Christ is in you. Those are all scriptural terms of who the church is. So tell me, if Satan comes to tempt Jesus, then what is he going to do for you who are in Jesus? If Satan's temptation is for you, then what can you expect today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life? The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." I want us to answer two questions here. First, how does Satan tempt? And second, what does he attack? Because for Jesus, the devil comes and he comes and he speaks audibly. He speaks in the ears of Jesus. He says, "If you are the Son of God." And that's what he does to Adam and to Eve, right? He speaks right into their ears. So they hear it. And I don't think that this is the way in which Satan works today. Not as much. I think this is pretty unnerving. As I unpack this a little bit more, I think this is, this is absolutely true, though. But Satan does not speak into our ears the same way in which he did to Jesus and to Adam and Eve. He does something. He has access to our minds. He has access to our thoughts. He can't read minds. I don't think that's true. The devils and the demons, they can't read minds, but they do have access to our thoughts. And so you get texts like this here. 2 Corinthians 11. "I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." That is, it's comparing the temptation from Eve to the access that the demons have to your thoughts. So, what is your thought when you are sinned against? It's to be angry. And the devil just stirs this up. Makes it even more. He has access to your thoughts. Or what is the thought that you have when you are ill and suffering? And so often it's a temptation to be in despair. This access to our thoughts, this is unnerving. But I want you to feel that. I want you to feel that for the rest of the week. I want you to think about your thoughts when sin happens or when temptation comes. Because this is Satan and his demons just kind of stirring up that which we have, the reaction that we have when we're sinned against or when we're tempted. So what does he do? What does he do to Jesus here? How does he attack? Well, often he's going to attack our desires, that which we want to do, the reaction that we have to something. So Jesus, he's fasted for 40 days. What is he going to desire? Food. And you, dear saint, when you have been sinned against, what are you going to desire? Revenge. Gossip, anger. And then Jesus here, he's been fasting for 40 days, and he's doing this because he trusts God alone, that God will give him bread when the time comes right. And God has not given him bread. And so Satan is going to tempt Jesus to think, because you have not been given bread during this entire time, God doesn't love you. He's abandoned you. And that's why that the very first word that he says, if you are the Son of God. This temptation comes to think that you are not a child of God, that your heavenly Father is not going to care for you. So the temptation is when you lack stuff, when you don't have enough money, when you don't have enough security, or even when you gain something, that is, you gain something negative like sickness or injury or extra burdens that have come upon you from other people, Satan is going to lead you to think that you only live by bread alone. And if God isn't providing for it, or if he can get you to think that God isn't providing for you, then he's not only won your body, he's won your soul. He can lead us to focus on the pleasures of the body. It's what he does to Adam and Eve, right? The food was pleasing to the eyes. What sort of pleasures do you have in your life that Satan leads you away from? Or he can lead us to think that because we're neglected, because we're not provided for something, that God, in fact, is not our Father, if you are a child of God. Then turn these stones into loaves of bread. And here Jesus speaks up for us. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your life, your bodily life, it does not depend on food or a job or money or medicine or surgery. Those are all good things in which your Lord gives to you. But the reason that those things provide for you is because of the Word. If your Jesus was to take his Word away from food, it would provide no nourishment. If your Jesus was to take his Word away from medicine, it wouldn't heal you. And what Jesus does here is simply amazing. He says, man does not live by bread alone. And what he does is he connects you with him. He doesn't say God doesn't need this. He speaks up for you. He speaks up on your behalf. He's saying man, like we men, we humans. He's connecting himself with you. He doesn't need bread as God, but he becomes man so that he does need bread, so that he can connect himself with you and speak up on your behalf. So that when he overcomes Satan, it isn't God overcomes Satan, it is you overcoming Satan. It is you gaining the victory. So when we speak of battling against Satan, our theme song isn't Onward Christian Soldiers. I love that song, and it speaks a great truth, but that's not our theme song in our battle against Satan. As if we're the ones going out and battling. Because if we're the ones going out and battling, we will lose. It is instead the very first hymn that we sang today, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That is, you have a champion who fights for you. You have one who is going to overcome Satan for you. You have one who is going to help you in time of need because he is the victor. Not for himself. He was the victor long before he became flesh. But he became flesh so he became the victor for you. we men, we humans, do not live by bread alone. He connects you with himself. But even with this truth, Satan has a temptation for that. And I think this is a huge one for us today. It is to think, it is to assume, that because we are forgiven, because we have God's favor through Jesus, then we couldn't possibly lose it. That's why it's quite amazing. Jesus loves you. This should be surprising news. And sometimes it isn't. Because sometimes our reply is, I love me too. And so the second temptation is that when Jesus is asked to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, Jesus' response here is you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You see, God is forgiving. God does have favor for you. God does have a gracious disposition towards you. But because of this, because we know this, we can be presumptuous in our sins. We can think that we can sin knowing that we will then be later forgiven. Sometimes we don't need to hear God is merciful. We don't need to hear God is forgiving, but sometimes we need to hear, do you really want to put God to the test? Do you really want to intentionally do that in hopes that God will forgive you? Do you really want to test your Lord's grace and patience towards you? And this is especially a big one for those of us and for those of our friends who consider themselves Christian but are not here often. You want your Lord to forgive you? You want your Lord to be gracious towards you? When you intentionally neglect the ways in which he does forgive you, he comes into your presence to proclaim his forgiveness. That is why we have church. That is why he instituted his church. And you want to ignore that and think that he's going to forgive you? And that is why it is sometimes necessary not to say, God is merciful, God is forgiving, but do you want to put the Lord your God to the test? Satan quotes scripture there, but every time he does it, and every time he speaks to you through your thoughts, through your reaction to sins, he is a liar. Call him that. He is an accuser. Call him that. He wants you to focus on yourself and take your eyes off of Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He wishes to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, but your Jesus is lifted up upon the cross so that he can draw you to be to himself. Every accusation, every sin, every temptation that you have come into contact with and that you have given into, it has been answered by your Jesus and his blood. Your Jesus has been lifted up, not just on the pinnacle of the temple, but to the top of the cross to answer for every sin and to answer for every failing that you have given into in times of temptation. And he speaks up for you. He speaks up on your behalf. And he says it to the liar. He says, "Be gone, Satan. You cannot say that, but he says it for you. This child, you, dear saint, have been bought and you have been paid for. You belong to your Jesus. And he can say, be gone. And the last temptation, it gets to the heart of everything. Every temptation is ultimately, it's ultimately meant to lead you away from the true worship of the Lord your God. It is to either hear that your sins don't matter, or to hear that your sins aren't forgiven. And the response. The response isn't you bucking yourself up to overcome temptation. Isn't to try a little harder. It is to know that when you, dear saint, when you fall, your Jesus stands. When you give in temptation, your Jesus is righteous for you. When you have failed, your Jesus has overcome and battles for you now. The Spirit led Jesus to do battle against Satan to destroy him. It is an uneven match. And with Jesus on your side, with Jesus speaking up for you, with Jesus speaking on your behalf, he calls Satan a liar. And that is your peace. Every accusation has been answered. And your Jesus is a champion. Amen.